We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. What up and welcome to Maggie and Pearl Off. And while everybody is here enjoying these NBA finals and talking about how incredible the talent is, and beyond that, the defense, and there's so many intriguing storylines, here is Andrew Perloff coming in on a Wednesday before Game 6 to tell us he thinks that these finals suck.
No. It's entertaining. It's compelling because it's very, very close. And, yes. You know, it's basically nothing separating these two teams. But, Maggie, you can't possibly tell me that these are two great finals teams. Like, if you want to divide the finals into thirds based on quality of how good the teams are.
Like, all-time finals?
Like, let's say the last 50 years. There's no doubt in my
mind. That's all? Okay.
There is no doubt in my mind this is a bottom third quality-wise. Like, honestly, like, teams from these teams would have gotten slaughtered 8 years ago.
Okay, but you don't want to just do a comparison of, like, who could play in the older era.
No,
and
what
person could play in this era. We're not trying to do that kind of thing. Why do you think these teams aren't
that good? Well, like, I just don't think these are two great finals teams. I think Boston's a very flawed team, which we've seen. You know exactly the reasons why. Basically, Tatum and Brown are not ready to carry a team to the finals. They're getting no help from their bench, which is basically filled with journeymen. Then Golden State is sort of a shadow of the great Golden State team. The Golden State team from 8 years ago would sweep this Golden State team. Basically, you have maybe the same Steph, but you have a much weakened Clay. You have a much weakened Draymond. And, you know,
no KD.
You have a shadow of the team. I'm not even talking about the KD Warriors. That's a totally different class. I'm talking about the original champion Warriors, the one that won in 15. Like, that was such a better team. I'd argue Steph was a better player back then, too. I don't think, like, he's amazing still, but I don't think he's quite as active as he was back then. So basically, this is the new norm in the NBA. We have very, very flawed teams advancing to the finals. So I just think, like, it's a sign of parity because these are not great teams. I'd be surprised if either of them are back here next year.
Okay. Who do you hold up as the pinnacle of the all-time great teams? Are you talking about the Jordan teams? Are you talking about who else? The Warriors team,
well, obviously,
you think, with Durant.
Obviously, the 80s, the Lakers and the Celtics.
Okay.
There's nobody's going to argue
that. Of course.
The 90s, the Bulls. The 2000s, the Shaq Kobe Lakers. The Duncan Spurs.
So just the teams that were winning were the dynasties. What about, do you consider the Pistons a great team?
The Isaiah Pistons or the Rasheed Wallace Pistons?
The Rasheed Wallace Pistons.
No. Like, that's to me, like, those teams are like one and done kind of championship teams.
Okay.
Those are not great teams. Those are not great finals teams. To me, like, to be a great finals team, you have to have, like, such a strong, like, group that you're going to be there year in and year out. And I don't think we're seeing teams like that come up in the NBA anymore.
I know, but we're watching the Warriors. Even if they're not as good as a previous iteration, they're still back and they still have a lead in these finals. Don't they have to, just by virtue of having the same core, don't they have to apply?
I feel like this is a totally different Warriors team. This is not, I don't know. No, it doesn't count because they haven't been back there since, when was the last time they were in the finals?
2019.
Yes. And this is a totally different Warriors team. It doesn't count. Like, yeah, I feel like it's a different thing.
Did you think that last year the Bucks or the Suns were great teams?
I think the Bucks are a borderline great team.
Okay. A team that went down 0-2 in the finals and stormed its way back.
Yeah.
If I'd polled you after they were down 0-2, would you have said the same thing?
No, but I bet you they won a lot more games than the Celtics did last year. I assume they were like a 63 team win.
Yeah, but the only thing about regular season wins in this day and age, load management, like, I don't know how much teams care about getting the number one seed or having home court advantage even early through this playoffs. Like, I don't know how important that is as opposed to rest. Like, we saw with the Toronto Raptors, obviously, rest for Kawhi was much more important than anything else.
Honestly, no, the Bucks were not a great team. That Raptors team, like, we're not seeing great teams in the finals.
And,
like,
you don't think there's great teams anymore?
No, I think we're done.
We're
going to see different champions every year. Honestly, I don't think we're going to see a dynasty for a long time in the NBA. I think it's structural.
Wow. So this is, congratulations, everybody. You lived through history. You lived through great teams no more, according to Andrew Perloff. It's over.
Let me give you some numbers.
Okay.
This will be the first time, if the Warriors win, we've had four different champions in 4 years since 1977. It's been that long since we've had a span. Now, in 1975, you went Warriors, Celtics, Blazers, Bullets, Sonics, then Lakers, the winning time Lakers.
Sure.
That's the kind of era we're in. We're going to see a different team every year.
And how long do you think this is going to last? Forever? Perpetuity?
I think maybe a decade.
Okay.
So I think we'll see like 7 or 8 different champions in the 2020s.
Is this purely because you don't think there's a far and away best player in the NBA right now? Because
no.
There is. It's Giannis. Wouldn't the Bucks be able to pull off a dynasty? Because you could see the Bucks winning next year if they stayed healthy. They might even be in these finals.
Yeah, no, if they were healthy, they were definitely the best team. But no, I don't think.
And if the Warriors had been healthy, if Klay and Steph both hadn't gotten hurt,
honestly, they
could have won another one in between 19 and now.
Well, yeah, but Klay got hurt.
Right, and Giannis got hurt. But you're saying if Giannis hadn't gotten hurt, they could have been back. Like,
no,
if Giannis is fully.
No, you mean Middleton.
I mean Middleton, pardon me. But if the Bucks hadn't suffered an injury, right, that's just part of it. But you could say that the Bucks still could be a great. Like, the Bucks could be a dynasty.
I don't know. Nah, I don't think so.
Holiday, no.
Middleton, Giannis.
No,
I mean, they're probably the best team. The Suns and them are probably the best teams on paper. But they're not complete like the Kevin Durant Warriors or like the Tim Duncan Spurs. They're not in that caliber at all to me. Are they to you? Or like the Shaq, Kobe, Lakers?
Well, no, but that's what makes those teams so particularly special. But just because we have like elite teams that were dynasties doesn't mean I think it couldn't happen again. Like, if you give Giannis, no matter who the supporting cast is, you're always going to have a shot.
A shot. But I don't see them like this decade, the 2020s. How many titles do the Bucks come out with?
I mean, would you be shocked if they won 3?
Yes, I'd be surprised. I think there's so much parity in the NBA. That's my whole point. I think it's going to switch again and again and again. We're going to say it's very, very hard to have a run. I think it has something to do with the way like superstars approach the league right now.
Okay.
Like they don't want to, like, I don't think they're going to super team it up like they did with LeBron.
Okay.
With
so Durant. There you go. Maybe you having, I mean, these are all good points.
Yeah.
They're valid. It's making me think. I'm wondering if that's part of it, which is the supermax and the advent and the backlash to the super team in some ways, which, I mean, to be honest though, like the super team is still going to be in vogue. I really think that. And I do think that Miami looks like they could be looking for another superstar. Like, we're not done with the era of the super team, but the super max might have a bit to do with it. Because if you can, your team can pay you the most possible, you know, once you're, you know, eligible off your rookie deal, it's hard to leave when someone's offering you like $225 million. It's hard to say thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. I think a couple more reasons. There's not going to be a LeBron again. I don't think, like, once he leaves, I mean, do you see another?
What about Bronny?
No. Bronny's going to be closer.
No offense. That kid might not,
he's gonna be
might
closer
not have the same stuff.
Ron Harper Jr. or Tim Hardaway Jr. than LeBron James Jr. So not only that, I think the Warriors came out in the 10s, and they sort of surprised the NBA. Everybody copied their team. Like all of a sudden, you know, they moved the game 10 feet beyond the three-point line.
Right.
Now everybody's doing that. So I don't think anybody's going to catch you by surprise or the whole new style again. So we're not going to see another Warriors because everybody's copying them. I don't think we're going to see another LeBron team, and I definitely do not think there's another Spurs team on there. So who's the super team? Where is it going to come from? We've already had 3 years in this. This will be the third finals to end in this decade.
Yeah.
And 3 different champions. Couldn't you see a 4th, a 5th, a 6th, a 7th? Couldn't you see John Morant winning one, Luka winning one, the Phoenix Suns winning one? I mean, I just think it's an incredible
maybe
era.
Miami finally breaks through with this iteration with Jimmy Butler. Maybe not. I don't know.
They're a little old, but yeah. Yeah, that could definitely be. Maybe this Celtics team wins.
What about
one.
The Nets? What if Kyrie and Durant run
totally.
It back?
Right. But like, this is not how it used to be. Like 8 years ago, 9 years ago, we knew who was going to be in the finals.
Yeah, and you know, it's a credit to the NBA that we knew who was going to be in the finals and we still loved it.
Like, well, maybe
you
that's
knew
why.
It was going to be Cavs Warriors and it was cool. Or LeBron against the Warriors or whatever.
Well, we love the dynasties. And maybe
the
NBA is going to be hurt because there's no dynasties, or maybe it'll be like the NFL where nobody repeats.
Well, I was going to say, it works for the NFL.
Yeah.
Where you care about the small market teams just as you do the big market teams. It doesn't matter. Yeah. I mean, I think fantasy has a lot to do with that. Gambling has a lot to do with that. But I can't tell if that's going to be good or bad. I do think people love basketball dynasties.
Yeah, I think they do.
It's an easy villain.
Yeah, they like Jordan Bulls. They liked you know, they loved Kobe and Shaq together. That was fascinating. Yeah,
unfortunately, Kobe and Shaq didn't love being together.
Yeah, now, of course, I could be totally wrong and a new LeBron could come along. That's the other question. That's the other question. About, what happens after LeBron retires?
Okay, but
what happens to the league?
Well, I don't know if you're going to have like a LeBron of somebody who out of high school, I mean, Zion would probably be the closest one, but he hasn't been able to stay healthy. Like you have someone who's out of high school with all the hype and then exceeds the expectations. Like that is just so incredibly hard. But I would say in terms of like all-time great players, I feel like Giannis has the ability to be carrying a team year after year. I know they just lost to the Celtics this year. I'm not stupid, but year after year where you could build multiple different types of teams around him, but him as the focal point.
Maybe. Yeah, that's a good one. I'm not sure he can shoot well enough to do that though.
But he keeps adding stuff to his game every year. Like he also has the desire, like, and I don't think just winning one title is satisfying him. You know, he seems like he's that guy who wants to be an inner circle Hall of Famer, not just the Hall of Famer.
But I wonder if his style of play is really going to be the kind that's going to win multiple. Like, he's still flawed. He's not a three. I know he's taking more three-pointers, but it's hardly dangerous. So I don't feel like he's that level player. Maybe I'm underestimating him. I feel like maybe it's Ja Morant or maybe it's Luka.
Maybe it's Ja Morant. Maybe it is Luka. Luka's going to need some more help.
Yeah.
That is not a
absolutely.
You know, that's not a team that's ready to win right now. And Ja Morant, they just all need to get a little bit more experience, yeah. More mature. Obviously, look at the Celtics right now. They clearly look like the team with less experience.
Yeah, notice we haven't mentioned Jason Tatum's name. I mean, here's a question about this finals, and I want to put it to you. Do you think this has been quality basketball, good basketball?
I think there's been stretches where I felt like this is amazing. And it was Steph's 43-point game where I was like, wow, look at what we're watching here. But there have been some blowouts, but that's happened in finals. That's totally happened in finals. Remember the Heat and Spurs? Remember they were like trading blowouts, yeah. You know, in that finals. And that one was over pretty quickly, actually. The Spurs, I believe, won that in five, right? LeBron's last year in Miami. I think this is overall probably been better than we give it credit for because the defenses are legit.
See,
we're not seeing a lot of amazing scoring, but the defense has been really good. And I think we're just, you know, that's not as fans, that's not kind of what we want to see. We want to see amazing offensive, you know, crazy performances.
Right. The losing team has not scored over 100 points except for game one.
Right.
Like it's been very low scoring. The turnovers, you can't ignore that. It's the sloppiest finals. Jason Tatum just set the all-time record for turnovers in the postseason. Of course, it was like LeBron was up there too, so not necessarily.
He's also played a ton of games.
Thing. Yeah, no, he's been amazing. But I just think like it's been kind of like subpar finals basketball. Like this is not, you're not going to put this up with the Kyrie LeBron Cavs versus the peak Warriors. That's sort of what I'm getting at. It's just like, it's kind of like, it feels like the NBA now is these one-off finals matchups.
Very interesting. Do you feel like the era of the dynasty is dead? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Will we see another dynasty? Is that what you want to ask?
Yeah, I mean, like, basically, is this a norm now where we just see two random teams playing the finals?
Just no.
Like, whoever just happens to stay healthy, yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to get, like, the repeat storylines and the building up to multiple meetings in the finals.
Yeah, I mean, unless these Warriors that we're watching right now go on a run, which is not going to be easy. They're not a perfect team, Maggie. I mean, like, they definitely, like, have some holes.
They're not a perfect team, but they're a great team.
Yeah.
I think the Celtics are a great team.
Really? Okay.
Is that a hot take? The Celtics are a great team? It's 3-2 in the finals.
I really think, like, wait till next year's playoffs. I think teams are going to get both of these teams. I really do. And I think, because you said, like, I would have said after last year, there's no way Giannis is not getting to the finals.
Well, that's what happens with injuries and stuff.
Yeah.
But I have no doubt that Giannis is going to be back.
And at a certain point, too, by the way, I would have said the Nets are the NBA super team as well.
We have a super team that just, well, it got broken up because James Harden didn't want a deal.
Yeah, it's just like, it just feels like we are in a really sporadic NBA right now.
Interesting.
I don't know if that's good or bad. I do think, like, the real conversation is, like, how is the league going to deal with the post-LeBron era? Who's going to, and Curry, too. When both those guys go away, are they going to have a lull?
I mean, Curry's, what, 34?
Yeah.
He can do this for, you're not going to have to make this decision, though, for quite a while. Like, LeBron's not retiring. First of all, we know that he wants to play with Bronny. He's not eligible in 2024. We know that he wants to, like, some kind of team ownership. It would make the most sense for him to play for an expansion team in Vegas rather than own one. So maybe he tries to do both in some sort of way to skirt the rules or something. I mean, these guys aren't going anywhere. It's like Brady and Rodgers. They never retire. Nobody ever retires anymore.
People are going to have to let go at some point. At some point, the NBA is going to have a post-LeBron era, just like it did the post-MJ era.
You want to know what's crazy about it? Even when they have a post-LeBron era, he's still going to be around. If he owns a team, you don't think LeBron's, what is he going to delete his social accounts, stop making movies, you know, not have a... Jordan got a 10-part documentary. How many parts do you think LeBron's documentary is going to have?
But
just infinity.
Jordan immediately jumped into ownership and nobody cared. Like, it's not the same.
Because his team isn't good.
Well, it did
nor
not,
all that interesting.
There is no comparison having Jordan winning titles with the Bulls and him owning a team. Like, it's not the same. Fans don't care who owns what.
I know, but the only thing about Jordan also was when he came back with the Wizards, it was like, all right, we got it. You know, that wasn't exactly, it just wasn't
right,
the old Jordan.
It
just wasn't him. And then you had all these young guys who were trying to come and, like, you know, challenge Jordan, Kobe, AI, whatever. And it just, like, it was just kind of an unsatisfying ending to a legendary career.
Are you ready for the reality that LeBron is going to be that age? He's going to be, and it's going to happen to him. He's going to get crossed over by the new Allen Iverson. John Morant's going to dunk on LeBron. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be ugly, Maggie.
I don't know. LeBron, year 20, still playing at a high level. But we want to know from you, is the era of the super dynasty, is it done? Is it dead?
We got the 70s back, people. Get ready for a lot of, like, Washington Bullets versus Seattle Sonics.
Can we bring everything back with the 70s?
Like, I'd like that, yeah.
No, right now, don't you notice our fashion? We're doing, like, early 2000s right now. Everyone looks like they're in a boy band again. A puka shell necklace. They got frosted tips.
You always go back exactly 20 years. That is the rule.
And it goes in the same cycle. Yeah. Like, we were doing bell bottoms, then the 80s stuff, then the 90s. Now we're 2000s. Everyone's, like, women are wearing low-cut jeans again. It's a disaster out there. It's a nightmare. We got an intern with us. I'm telling you, everyone looks like a boy band, I bet, at Michigan. Same.
Oh my gosh, he's wearing white pants.
I know. Look
at
this.
What the heck is he doing?
I'm telling you, this kid is one puka shell necklace away from just 2004.
Is Nick Lachey in a time machine in our office right now?
Yeah. It's live, ladies and gentlemen. I see if you're watching on CBS Sports Network. It's all happening. We want to hear from you. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. What would a Wednesday be without embarrassing the interns around here? It's kind of what we do. Maggie and Perloff. You can also find us on Twitter at Maggie and Pearl. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Maggie and Perloff. We're on Instagram at Maggie and Perloff. And we've got a YouTube channel now. How about that? What is it, June? Took 6 months? That's like nothing in our industry. It's amazing. We have a YouTube channel. You can go and check it out. We're going to be posting clips and lots of behind-the-scenes stuff to the YouTube channel. All right, did I get everything? Got it. Coming up next, the former top pick who addressed their current contract. Are they happy? Are they agitated? We'll tell you, and of course, your phone calls. It's Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, SiriusXM, Channel 158.
We're back on Maggie and Perloff.
It's time to say goodnight to that check engine light with the free AutoZone Fix Finder service. It'll help troubleshoot the likely cause of your light for free. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Thank you, Maggie. Mm-hmm. So I feel like you kind of cornered me into a very negative take last segment. No, I'm totally joking. But I feel I'm like listening to myself talk. I'm like, you have to understand, I'm definitely enjoying these finals. I love the Warriors. I mean, like we all, most casual fans like this Steph Curry Warriors team. And I'm a big Jason Tatum guy. Still mad the Sixers didn't take him. But
you're
an
everybody guy, though.
Yeah.
Like, coming from you, you like everybody.
Look at my old tweet on Jason Tatum. I was furious when I said he is the best player in college basketball. It's insane that he doesn't go number one. It's one of my great takes of all time.
Pat yourself on the back from what year was that? 2017?
Yeah, 2017. Yeah, I haven't had that many. No. How long has Tatum been in the league?
Maybe earlier, 16?
Jason Tatum's been in the league since 2017. Is that right?
I don't know. This was his fourth Eastern Conference Finals. Can I speak correctly?
So, Jason Tatum.
I don't know. It was during the process.
2017 NBA draft.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that long ago. It's dude's 24 years old.
I know. You make the fact that he's like, only 24 is crazy.
You make it sound like I just like bragged about calling like
you called your shot from
1996.
Yeah, that Arvydas Sabonis, if he could just have gotten to the United States earlier.
Oh, I love that conversation.
Yeah, it's a great conversation.
Well, I'm curious if people agree with me that this is not a great finals. I bet you I have
That's
some
not
supporters
great finals,
out there.
And also your other take, which is that dynasties are over. You know, that we're not going to see dynasties anymore for a variety of reasons. So let's go to Travion. He's in Atlanta, up first here on the Maggie and Perloff show. Travion, what's up?
Yeah, do you think the Boston Celtics is going to bounce back in game 6 against the Warriors?
I do. I think this is going 7. Now, I picked the Warriors in 6, and Travion, thank you for the call. I picked the Warriors in 6, but this has been such a difficult finals to wrap your arms around that I feel like it is, of course it's going 7.
Yeah,
a statistical analysis by any stretch.
But sometimes, don't you think that the team that wins game 5 goes on the road for game 6 and there's a feeling of looseness there? There's not a lot of pressure on the Warriors because they know they're going home.
Yeah, game 7 in the back pocket.
So I picked the Celtics, and that's what makes me nervous about tonight. I'd feel better if they at least got the 7 games, but I'm really nervous. The other question is the Celtics, like, they have to figure out a way to protect Jason Tatum. Like, he can't play 45 minutes and get double teamed and turn the ball over 9 times.
Right, because he's going to go 1 for 5 in the fourth quarter.
So they need to figure out a new offensive strategy to like sort of free him up a little. Like, he's just getting covered all over the court.
Do you think that Ime Udoka has another adjustment to the adjustment to the adjustment?
I do. Because the other thing about another tangent to my take is like, these are not the greatest rosters, but this is two excellent coaching staffs. And we've seen them going back and forth with adjustments. Like, they figure out things, both sides. Yeah, I think he's got something up his sleeve. He better, right?
I don't know. It took him a while to get around to, you know, the drop coverage on Curry with the pick and rolls. That took a while to get on. A little bit.
Well, I think the key was to have Robert Williams on the court. Like, that's how he did it. And, like, that's not his fault.
No, but stayed with Horford on that for a little long. Let's go to David in North Carolina. David, how are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. What's on your mind?
Dynasties, they're done.
You agree with Perloff. Why?
Yes, greed. Players greed, owners greed. Everybody wants to make as much money as they can, and that's it. And they'll just chase a dollar. It's just greed.
But wait, the owners greed. The Warriors are like $150 million over the luxury tax. They're paying a ton to make this team.
Yeah, you're right. But when you hear about a dynasty, I look at teams that win 3 or 4 championships in a row.
Right. Or 5 years, right? Is that what we said?
Yeah. I'm not discounting the Warriors. What a lot of NBA insiders and the hardcore fans consider them a dynasty. I mean, they went 2 years, they were in the tank.
Yep.
Yeah, they're broken. And now they're discontinued dynasty. Like, you don't consider the 2013 Spurs the same team that won with David Robinson in 1999.
No, but we give the Spurs a lot of credit for, like, overall excellence, just like we do with the Patriots. The Patriots went 9 years without winning a Super Bowl. They got back to a couple. Obviously, the Giants took care of them. But, you know, we appreciate the extended excellence. We kind of shorthand call the Patriots dynasty 20 years.
But the Patriots didn't quite fall off as dramatically as the Warriors did.
I'll give you that.
When Clay got hurt.
No, yeah. I'll give you that.
Also, the Patriots didn't have devastating injuries left and right. You know, there are a lot of reasons this happened.
Interesting about, and David, thank you for the call, greed.
Yeah, I kind of get what he's saying. Like, I feel like LeBron went to Miami not because of any form of greed whatsoever. He just really wanted to win a title. And he thought Wade and Bosh gave him the best chance. I'm not sure every superstar makes that decision right now. I'm not sure, like, a Luka Doncic would want to share the ball with two other superstars.
Okay, but maybe not. But there's also a part of, you know, like, I remember the LeBron quote that he gave at one point, which is, I don't want to be 30 years old with bad knees and no rings.
Yeah.
At some point, the urgency to start winning and to start not winning but stacking championships, if you are indeed ring chasing, you know, that becomes really front and center.
Yeah, but and it doesn't always work, though, because, like, KD probably went to Brooklyn and thought, I got Kyrie, and eventually I have Harden. Like, this is a super team. It's not easy. You know, also, the other thing, too, about LeBron, like, he got there and Wade and Bosh put their egos to the side and worked with him. It's a rare. I think we probably underestimated how hard it was to win those titles. Don't you think that like people are like, oh, LeBron won it easily? No way.
I never thought that was easy. Even though they obviously stacked the team in their favor. Kayvon in North Carolina. Kayvon, how are you?
Doing well, guys. Doing well. Pearl up. I actually think you got a good point here, man. I think what it is I think we've kind of been spoiled in the past with some of these finals, and mainly because of the storylines we had from the finals. Like, if you think about it, the last, 9 years in a row, we had LeBron in the finals, which is the best storyline you can have because half the people absolutely hate him and then half the people love him. So that right there was a storyline itself, and it felt like every time LeBron was in the finals, he was going up against some other storyline, whether it was a Spurs somewhat dynasty that was trying to continue with a new like form in Kawhi Leonard. Then you had the Warriors dynasty, and what we forget before KD came, which kind of ruined it, that 2015 and 16 finals were two of the best finals we saw. I mean, every game was close pretty much. You had two overtime games back to back in 2015. I just think that we got spoiled in the past with LeBron always being there, creating this extremely polarizing topic, and I don't know if we're going to get that again. I don't see a player, like, even if Giannis does go on this run, he's not very polarizing. Pretty much everyone likes Giannis, kind of. Like,
same with Curry.
That's what I think we're missing.
People love Curry. You know, they might have people might not love the Warriors as a dynasty, but Kayvon, it's a great point, and I'll just add to it, and thank you for the call as always. It wasn't just LeBron going up against the Warriors or whatever. It was Jordan. It was always like we're comparing him to the finals appearances of Michael Jordan, and will he get as many rings as Jordan? That always loomed over everything that LeBron does.
Yeah, and I think, too, you need to play off LeBron to be a really super team. Maybe that's really what we're discovering here. Like, you can't beat 24-year-old Jason Tatum and be defined as like a great all-time finals team. You have to beat like a LeBron team to really put yourself up there.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It kind of matters who you beat a little bit.
Well, and that's why if we just flip this, say the Celtics do win game 6 and say they pull off the stunner in game 7. I'm telling you, like, Jason Tatum will catapult.
Absolutely.
Just because by virtue, you might not think that this Warriors team is on par with any of the other ones, and I'll grant you that the KD one was super dominant, but like, that cachet of beating the Warriors.
See, no. It's not. You think it's like beating the 2015 Warriors?
No, but I think that,
it can't be.
No, because everyone was younger, but like, that 2015 Warriors, like, that had been a Warriors team that was like knocking on the door, and then like finally won it. But like, I think that would give Jason Tatum so much cachet to take down the Warriors, no matter what iteration you think they are.
I don't think it's, I don't. I disagree with that, because I think, like, listen, in 2016, they won 73 games. This team is lucky if it plays 73 games health-wise. Klay Thompson is nothing like, if you see Klay Thompson try and play defense, he's better now than he was. But, I think you bring up a great point. You have to be a foil. But here's the thing. The Celtics could win without Tatum having a great game. We've seen him do it 100 times.
Yeah, we have. I get that, but he's still, like, the best player on the best team. Is there another player, superstar, who is as polarizing as LeBron was? KD.
Nah. I mean, LeBron's the king of our era. I know, but do you think four sports.
But KD, so like, what do you think the general opinion is on KD? Love him, but think he's kind of...
No.
Don't love him.
I think it's... I have no idea. I don't know. I think it's closer to neutral. I think he has a lot of fans, but like, it's not in the same conversation with LeBron, is it?
No, but he's so out there and he's so extremely online and like has had, you know, back and forth with people. If you're into that kind of thing, like, there's a lot there to Kevin Durant. So maybe he turned some people off.
And then just in general, if you just think about the three guys in that team, KD, Kyrie, and Simmons, all three of them are controversial kind of figures in a way that you either love, hate, or just have some sort of feeling for. So if the Nets make it, like, that's going to be...
That will be something, but Kyrie is not he's excellent basketball player, like, amazing basketball player, but he's not leading that team. Durant's the best player on the team. Same with Ben Simmons. And is there a Ben Simmons defender left on this planet who's not related to him? You, Samter? Look at you raising your hand.
He's
misunderstood?
I'm not ready to close the door and write that final chapter on Ben Simmons. Before that bad playoff run with the Sixers,
yeah,
He was looked at as like one of the best point guards slash ball handler slash defensive players in the league. Then he just blew up in the playoffs, and then he took the year off for mental health reasons. If he comes back and he's healthy, I mean, I don't know.
You're buying Ben Simmons stock, right?
I'm not buying it. I'm not selling it. I'm just holding on to it.
It's like your crypto.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm just going to hang on to this for a little.
I'll tell you who is polarizing. Who is the most polarizing guy? I think it's Luka. He is polarizing. I don't know why.
Only like, to you.
No,
and all
I think,
the rest of us like him.
No. Luka starts a lot of conversation.
Really? What, have you been hanging out with Porzingis?
He complains on every call. Like, he's a bit of a
like every athlete.
But also, too, like, he's polarizing because you have to be so good. Like, I think, like, KD is just not, like, doesn't get attention like that. KD's amazing, but I don't think, like, people are like, oh, my God, I can't wait to see what KD does out there. Luka's got that polarizing.
No. This is the litmus test of how you know someone is polarizing. Do you feel a sense of satisfaction when they lose?
Yeah, see, I think Luka is the guy.
You think that people feel a sense of satisfaction when Luka loses?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
I know two people in this building who really can't stand Luka.
Who, Sampter and Stu?
No. I won't name names.
You don't want to name names. What, does Rick Carlisle work here? I don't know. Who else could be?
Our boss is very famously
anti-Luka, right?
Very anti-Luka.
Yeah, our boss has a podcast. You can listen to it. It's called The Rights to Ricky Sanchez.
Where he rips Luka a lot.
Okay.
He doesn't rip Luka, but like Luka's annoying. You don't find Luka annoying a little
bit? I find him enthralling. I love watching him.
Polarizing, exactly.
I guess so. All right. Coming up, well, we didn't get to our former top pick who's going to address his contract. We're going to do that next. We've got a roundup of what you missed, the latest from NFL minicamp. We're going to do that in just a moment. But first, bottom-ish of the hour, time for a CBS Sports update. Here's Rich Ackerman.
It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask us a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply check out cbssportsradio.com/askthepros or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. So we've been talking a lot of NBA, but it is minicamp week. This is basically the last week of real content we're going to get for NFL.
Until the next, what's until
America,
about 3 weeks from now.
What's America going to do? What's America going to do with those 3 weeks when all the NFL players are in Cabo?
Something tells me we'll find something to talk about.
So a lot going on. Let's break it down.
Okay, so first, the news out of minicamp, and this was about Joe Burrow. So Joe Burrow meeting the media, and because some other notable quarterbacks have been complaining openly about not getting paid, Joe Burrow was asked whether he's thinking about his contract.
I mean, the market is just exploding. It's crazy, the numbers that these guys are putting up, and I think it's well-deserved. All those guys are playing at the top of their game, and you know, they're being paid accordingly, but you know, I'm not worried about it. I like to make jokes about it, but I'm not really not haven't thought about it much right now.
Do you believe him?
Yeah, I mean, he's played 2 years. This whole thing is insane. He's under contract for 5 years. He's under control of the team for 6 years. They set up this rookie salary cap. Kyler Murray's trying to blow it up, but it's the reality of the NFL right now. Like, has there ever been a guy after his second year who's complained about his contract? A first round pick who's under control for 5 years. I think like we keep moving up the time frame.
Well, it's not that we're moving it up. It's just there is this loophole in the CBA where after your third year, you can get paid.
Right. So that's a whole year and a half from now.
I know, but Burrow's already made a Super Bowl. Like, you'd have to believe. So here's the caveat. This is why this is interesting, right? Not that we don't think that the Cincinnati Bengals are going to try to move heaven and earth to keep Joe Burrow. It's just if you read in Peter King's column or other places that the Deshaun Watson $230 million guaranteed, it might change the landscape a lot for quarterbacks. It might not. We're not sure yet how that's going to be received. Maybe we're seeing some shades of that with Lamar Jackson. We're not sure. But there are teams that don't have that kind of cash flow to really be able to say, here's $230 million guaranteed. Not to get into the weeds too much. You got to put a lot in an escrow account. And there are just some teams that don't have that kind of money. And one of them is the Bengals. The other one would be the LA Chargers. This is according to NFL insiders. They might not be able to give a player that kind of guaranteed money. So is Joe Burrow looking for like a Josh Allen kind of deal? In which case, I'm sure the Bengals will figure a way to get that to him, 150 or so million guaranteed. But if you're asking for, you know, franchise landscape altering money, which now Deshaun's contract has, like, you know, entered into the conversation. It may change things. It may not change things. I mean, Kirk Cousins got a fully guaranteed contract, and we thought that was going to change things forever, and it really didn't.
But don't you think it's kind of weird that there's a whole season in between now and when this is going to... Do you think it's worth talking about now?
No, but I just think it's something to keep an eye on. Also, yeah. Joe Burrow, like, even if they don't make the Super Bowl this year, like, his stock's not going to fall so much that he's not going to be in line for some kind of max deal.
And if there is a way the Bengals can do it, like, I feel like there's no marriage.
You have to.
Yeah. There's no... I think Justin Herbert with the Chargers and Joe Burrow and Josh Allen and a few other players and Mahomes, like, there's a handful of quarterbacks where there's just no way the team is letting them out the door.
But there have been frustrations. Ask Carson Palmer about it and how frustrating things were for him in Cincinnati. You know, he ended up forcing a trade out because he didn't think the team was serious about winning. And listen, they're coming off a Super Bowl. It feels weird to criticize them now.
They've been spending a lot lately. So there's a completely different team. It's so different than the Carson Palmer. They spent a lot the last two off seasons. I mean, Trey Hendrickson was such a game changer. So give them a lot of credit. I don't see this Burrow thing because of his low-key style. I don't think that this is ever going to be a problem. I don't feel like he'll ever be in the Kyler Murray camp. I don't think he'll ever have to scrub his social media, which is, of course, the only barometer
that is the only way we ever know if an athlete is even somewhat unhappy. You got to scrub the social. All right, let's move on. So that's Joe Burrow. That's one thing going on. Here's Justin Fields, who was talking about the Bears and whether or not they're ready for the season.
No. Not ready for the season to start. You know, I'm the type of guy to, you know, like to know that I'm prepared. So right now, I'm just being honest, we're not ready to play a game right now. So, and when that time comes, we will be ready. So right now, no, I'm not ready to play.
Man, how much would that pregnant pause get you in trouble for, like, things in your normal life? Like,
no.
Honey, do you love me?
No.
Like, it's so thick. It's just, it's like, are you guys ready for practice? Maybe he just wasn't expecting the question, but there was a big pause there. He really thought that through. Was like, yeah, not a chance.
He was probably thinking, like, do I have to say yes here? Well, obviously, he's got a new offensive coordinator.
Like, do I need to lie here?
Yeah.
Is this a must-lie situation?
But then he's like, wait, we have a new coaching staff. Like, it's June 15th. Like, people can't really think we're ready for the season. That wouldn't make any sense, right?
Well, also, like, one of their big defensive guys, Robert Quinn's, like, currently holding out. Like, I don't know. Not happy with his contract? Yes, Samter? Seem like you want to say something?
I'm just wondering if the Bears have a chance to win the NFC North.
No.
Just, we need to bring that back for everything. Put that in the file.
No.
Oh, so good. Okay, let's move on. This is going on in Washington, D.C. So the Washington Commanders, and there's a lot of ways we could take the story, but we're going to go and choose to go with the quarterback situation. So Carson Wentz, obviously they trade for him. They're paying him a ton of money. Taylor Heinicke, who was signed to be the backup but was thrust into the starter's role last year after Ryan Fitzpatrick got hurt, was asked about whether or not he's actually competing for the job.
I don't think that's an option. You look at the NFL, it's at the end of the day, it's kind of a business. And if you're paying someone $30 million and you're paying someone else $2 million, you're paying this guy $30 million to play, you know? And that's not me, you know, Carson's a great quarterback. And you see it through OTAs and minicamp. And I hope he goes out there and succeeds. And again, my job is just to back him up.
Perloff, do you think that this was the right thing for Heinicke to say? Or should he tell everybody, no, I'm competing for the starting role?
No, it's probably the right thing, but it sounds weird for a quarterback. Doesn't it sound like that's not something a quarterback should be saying?
Sounds smart.
I don't know, though. But, like, yes, it's a reality situation. But don't you find another way to answer that question? Like saying the team paid the dude $30 million. See, I don't think you want to say the team paid him $30 million or whatever, or $28 million. They're going to play him. That makes it sound like the only reason they're definitely playing him is because they're paying him all that money. That's sort of a backhanded insult.
I mean, I think that he would hope to be making $28 million one day, right? Where it's like, that's the respect. The respect is the contract.
Yeah, but I don't think, like, you should really say that. It's like... Maybe it's because of how we feel about Carson Wentz, but it almost implies, like, I don't know, if we were at even money, I think I could outcompete this guy, which we know he is thinking.
Well, I don't know. I didn't mind it guy knows what his role is.
No, I mean, it's
and
not. I
would
don't
also
mind
say
it.
This. I think that there's probably, well, who knows what the Washington football team's thinking, because up is down, left is right with that organization. But I'd have to think there has to be some kind of concerted effort to like push Carson Wentz, like his, make sure he's in a positive state of mind. Like, he's had issues with backup quarterbacks in the past. Obviously, Nick Foles was the big one because he came in and won a Super Bowl, and that was really difficult, at least by reports, for Carson Wentz to deal with that, right? That it wasn't him, it was Foles. So there's got to be some kind of effort. If this is going to work at all in Washington, like, they got to make sure that Carson feels like the man, right? And maybe absolutely. Taylor Heineke got the memo there.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you're right. And I think...
It's a fragile psyche.
But then again, like... Probably, like, if a PR person could write it, you shouldn't say, yeah, I mean, that guy's making all the money, he should start. Because when you think about it, you should say, like, Carson's our leader, I'm just here to support him.
We know
you
PR, know, that's exactly what Washington does. Excellent.
NFL quarterbacks are probably best served to speak in generalities, and he probably got a little too specific. But it's fine. First of all, Taylor Heineke could say anything. Is there anyone in the world who has a problem with Taylor Heineke?
No.
Yeah, he's Teflon. He's the exact opposite of Carson Wentz. Like, Carson Wentz is going to have to throw 40 touchdowns.
for the owner to throw him out. Yeah, although the owner's got his own problems.
He had a Pro Bowl season in Indy, and the owner couldn't wait to cut him.
No, could not wait to cut him. Lastly here, Minkah Fitzpatrick, congratulations to the Steelers' safety. Gets a 4-year extension, $36 million guaranteed. Perloff, is that a good use of the Steelers' money?
Well, I think a couple things. The salary cap is rising in the next few years, so it's not as hurtful as you might think it is.
Right.
The second thing is the salary cap actually doesn't exist.
Yeah, so the Rams have proved that.
There's that.
Right.
I've been reading
a figment of all of our imagination.
It's hard. I mean, it's hard for us to evaluate a safety. They're all asked to do different things. I know Jamal Adams was paid too much because he can't cover anyone.
Yeah,
I know,
and they gave up 2 first-round picks.
Yeah, I know Minkah Fitzpatrick can do more than that, but I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I'm looking at the tape. It does seem like a lot. Like, remember when they traded for him? They basically lost their quarterback and said, you know what? We're not giving up on the season. We're going to bring in this all-pro safety. And he's delivered for the most part. So I'm okay with the money.
Yeah, I am too. And also, this is when you spend the money. You got Mitchell Trubisky on, like, no money. You've got Kenny Pickett on no money. Mason Rudolph makes no money. Your quarterback makes no money. If this was the time to spread it around to some of the other impact players on the team, this is when you got to do it. I'm totally fine with it. Okay, coming up next... Oh, Maggie's most intriguing list continues. This one is a spicy meatball because it also ties into the news of the day. We'll get to that in just a moment. Don't move. Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 158. Come on back.